Barbara Kahn. I'm the executive director of MSI. And today we're going to look at the GDPR, what everybody's talking about, the General Data Protection Regulation that requires all sites operating within the EU boundaries to get user consent before processing personal data. Many companies in the U.S., even though the regulation, I believe, does not apply in the U.S. yet, they're anticipating that kind of regulation coming into the U.S. So everybody seems to be talking about what the role of the GDPR is going to be on web data. My two guests say the law is the most significant privacy regulation in effect today. Garrett Johnson is an assistant professor of marketing at Boston University's Questrom School of Business. Samuel Goldberg is a PhD candidate at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. And they are co-authors of a working paper called Regulating Privacy Online, an Economic Evaluation of the GDPR. They looked at the data of over 1,000 online firms to track the impact of this law. Garrett and Sam, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us. We're really excited to speak about our research and actually just want to begin by thanking MSI for providing funding support for the work. We really appreciate that. And also want to recognize our third co-author who isn't with us today. It's Scott Shriver at Colorado.
Okay, let's start out with I think almost everybody's talking about the GDPR who's in business, but there may be people who don't understand the particulars of it. Can you explain how the GDPR works and what the regulation means?
GDPR is essentially a privacy regulation, and at the heart of it, you have a definition of personal data, which is quite expansive. It's not just health data or personally identifiable data. It's all data that relates to a unique individual. So this can include cookies and IP addresses. So, you know, with that start, the GDPR on the consumer end accords the consumer a lot of data rights, like the ability to access and correct the data that firms have about them. And it also puts a lot of responsibilities on firms. So firms have to be able to respond to these rights-based requests from consumers. They have to audit their data flows, minimize the data collection, hire a regulator inside the company called the data protection officer, among other responsibilities. So it is quite a heavy lift for firms.
And I think I may be wrong about this. So there's try to separate fact from fiction in all this GDPR. But a big part of it is that the individuals have to give consent that their data is being collected. Is that true, Garrett, or do I have that wrong?
Yeah, so the GDPR lays out the circumstances under which a firm can process a consumer's personal data. And one of those, probably the most important, is the consumer's consent. And the GDPR defines consent very specifically to be a consumer's opt-in consent. So if a firm wanted to get a consumer's consent, they couldn't just have a pre-tick box that says that they're okay with their personal data being used. The consumer actually has to tick that box.
And is that also why most of us who have seen this annoying little box come up in front of our website suddenly, that we're ticking boxes all over the place before we can move on with our data? Sam, you're shaking your head. Is that the way it's?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. Yeah, that's why you see these pop-ups making the web a little bit harder to use these days.
And so at least from my point of view, I mean, they get me just when I'm really wanting to see what I clicked on and I just click anything. So it's not clear to me what I'm giving my consent to or if that was the intention of the GDPR in the first place. But it's become almost a nuisance to me. I don't know if that generalizes or if that's just me, Garrett. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right that effectively the way it's been implemented is that firms treat it as just kind of a hop to go through. So consumers have to just press agree and continue. But that, you know, while that's been the case for almost all websites, that's not in accordance with the GDPR. The GDPR says give affirmative consent. So, you know, what we're going to be talking about today is our research kind of in a world where we get GDPR light, where we don't see the full kind of enforcement and compliance of the law, yet we still notice some impacts on websites.
Okay, and that's what we're going to talk about today, what the impacts are, and that's what your data was about. But before we do that, just again as background, Can you tell us a little about how companies use this personal data and why this is going to be such a big shift, Sam?
Yeah, so personal data is used across the web in a variety of different ways, right? But sites use them primarily for things like website design or product recommendation, as well as obviously like targeted advertising is a huge use of personal data online.
So tell us a little bit about your data set and what your analysis was. Start from where you started and what your personal research question was.
So, I mean, before we get too far into exactly the data, I want to just give a shout out to Taylor Schreiner at Adobe. He has partnered in the past with academics to use Adobe Analytics data to study sort of big questions about e-commerce and the online economy. And we reached out to him, you know, with this opportunity to study the GDPR, and he was super helpful and excited about it. And Adobe's been really great to give us access to this data. What our data consists of is essentially a collection of about 1,000 firms' analytics dashboards. And so we see everything that these firms see about their online presence. This includes things like page views or their e-commerce revenue, for example. Those are kind of the two key metrics that we focus on in the paper. We, you know, the first kind of pattern that you notice right away is that if you plot these metrics out over time, compare both before the GDPR was implemented and after the GDPR is implemented, you see this kind of 12 percentage point decline in these metrics across the board. So for most of these sites, we see pretty significant and large drops in these metrics.
Tell me again the metrics you look at. You look at some metrics before GDPR and the same metrics after GDPR. And in that simple cut, you see a decline. So can you just say that again so I make sure
yep.
I get what you
are? Yeah, so if we compare page views and revenue from before and after the GDPR, we see approximately a 12 percentage point decline in both of those metrics. So it's a pretty significant and, you know, kind of striking drop in those metrics.
And so I'm assuming that you have to be careful and not to assume there can be other kind of complicating factors that are causing this drop. And the analysis is not going to end there. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. The complicated part about the GDPR is it changes both data recording as well as potentially these, you know, the underlying outcomes themselves. So it's going to change when I can record a page view with my analytics dashboards. And it also could change how many page views I actually see, right? And so we spend a significant portion of the paper trying to disentangle those two effects.
Can you just say that again? Because how does the fact that the consumer has to consent, how do you take that into account as one of the reasons? Is it that they have to consent and therefore they're not looking? Is it how do you separate out that it's the action of consent that makes a difference?
Yeah, so I think, again, we've got this challenge of the data that Adobe sees falls by 12%. And it's really a puzzle because there's two things that could cause that to happen. One is that a large percentage or something like 12% of consumers don't provide consent to the website sharing the data with Adobe. And so Adobe just doesn't see as the data that's actually still happening. But the other reason is that the GDPR could actually be hurting websites, for instance, by making it harder for them to market to consumers. So it's definitely a challenge for us to disentangle what is what. But what we're able to show, I think, pretty convincingly is there's a bit of both things are going on. There is a certain amount of users that are opting out and also a real effect on these businesses.
Okay, so you looked at over 1,000 companies to see what this economic impact this law had on them. Can you tell us first, like, how much time and expense is it for companies to comply with the law? Like, how hard is it for them to put it together? I guess within the EU, they have to do it. Within the US, they've been starting to do it. Have you looked at that kind of issue too?
Yeah, so there's been some interesting reports about the cost to firms. So for instance, Ernst & Young looked at the top 500 global firms, and they said that it cost a total of $7.8 billion for these firms to comply with the GDPR, or at least start their compliance process out. And then there's another survey of small and mid-sized organizations that found that 3/4 of them were spending over $100,000. So, you know, firms are really making important investments to try to bring themselves into compliance.
Okay, so now you did your methodology to separate out these effects, and without that complicated analysis, it was a 12%. Once you filtered all of that out, what were your conclusions?
Our data is approximately consistent with between a 4% and 15% consent rate. So opt out rate. So about somewhere between 4% and 15% of users opt out of data collection in our data set. And we see approximately a 1 percentage point drop in weekly revenues that we can attribute to marketing.
And does this differ by different industries, or how much did you go down into what kind of the descriptor variables did you use on this?
Yeah, so sort of surprisingly, we don't see a lot of variation in these effect sizes across types of websites. The one exception to that is that we do see that larger sites seem to not be as impacted as much by the GDPR. And in particular, this is true for larger e-commerce sites. And we can dig into that a little bit. And it looks like, the mechanism behind that is that smaller firms are having a harder time getting consent than larger firms.
So this is just me being naive, if you don't mind, to just go back and stuff. I've heard people talk about things like the GDPR. One of the fixes for dealing with it is to not use web data on the individual level and to think about it more on a segment level. So you don't need to have personal data and you might not need consent. Can you untangle that, what the difference would be in monitoring on an individual level versus a segment level and how all of that is affected by GDPR? Garrett?
Yeah, so I think, I teach digital marketing, and really the common tie that puts all of the amazing capabilities we have in digital marketing together, what underpins that is user level identity. So knowing who you are across websites so we can do a better job of targeting you, measure the effectiveness of advertising, and then optimize to better allocate our spend across the channels that are performant. So individual identity powers all that, and the GDPR is kind of putting that, really changing that paradigm. You rightly point out that it's creating a push towards segments and flocks, for instance, rather than individuals. And the difference there being that if you're part of a group of people like men from Philadelphia ages 20 to 30, then that's not personal information because it's information you share with a large group of people. So that's really a paradigm shift for marketers that we're moving towards. And the GDPR is a big forcing function bringing us in that direction.
So what you're saying is we're going to move to segment level data. So we're not going to move to the individual level data. So then how does, this consent and all of that affect behavior?
So I think, in the existing paradigm, websites use site analytics data to optimize their websites and segment their customers and understand how consumers are using their website and how they can improve their website. So effectively, in a world where, about 10% of consumers are opting out, you still have some of that data, but your ability to make good decisions is not as good. So that's one effect. And another is just that if people aren't providing consent to sharing data with Adobe or Google Analytics, they're certainly not going to be providing consent for personalized advertising. And without personalized advertising, we've shown in other research that ad prices fall by about 50%. So, within the kind of current paradigm that's really built around individual consumers, these effects can be pretty large. But I think part of what you're speaking to is like, this is a step towards a new paradigm of marketing that really does things in a different way. And that's going to be a big paradigm shift for managers.
So I guess then those kinds of shifts will happen if that GDPR kind of regulation comes to North America. Do you think that's likely? I mean, I think a lot of firms are doing this proactively in anticipation of it. But right now, the law is mostly in the EU, correct? And it's not really in North America. Do you think it's coming to North America?
So let me start by talking a bit about North America, about the law, and then Sam can talk a bit about what we saw in our data on that topic. So there is definitely a push for U.S. privacy regulation. One thing that's pushing for that is that various states either have laws or are considering laws, like California and Virginia, for instance. And so at some point, it creates a necessity for the federal government to step in and have a unified approach to this. And I think that's an exciting time because there's a lot of momentum to do something. I'm perhaps a little bit more skeptical that Congress can agree on exactly what direction they want to go and whether this issue will finally bubble up to the top on a very crowded agenda. But I think policymakers need to be very clear-eyed here because everyone wants more privacy, but privacy is not free, especially in today's data-driven economy. And our research shows that this has actually hurt website revenue. Our other research shows that the GDPR hurt competition. There's some excellent other research showing that tech venture investing fell by 26% right after the GDPR. I mean, these are pretty big costs, and I think that is something that policymakers should have in mind as they draft a regulation and choose whether to follow the European example. Sam, do you want to talk a bit about some of the spillovers of the GDPR?
Yeah, I mean, just to say that we do look in the paper to see if we see if the GDPR has changed how firms are using personal data in the United States as well, or for North America users in particular. And again, our data consists of mostly very large global firms. And because of how the GDPR is regulated, it actually sometimes makes sense for them to sort of just invest in privacy globally rather than just for the EU citizens. And indeed, we do see sort of small but significant spillovers to North American traffic as well. So there is sort of the GDPR has sort of led to this global regulation in a way.
So it's pretty hard to not conclude that the GDPR is going to have some pretty strong ramifications on how business is conducted. So what would be your overall conclusions, not just of this paper, Gary? It sounds like you're familiar not only with a lot of your own work, but other work that you've read in the area.
Yeah, I think it's a really important question for managers. I think some business leaders are taking the wrong message from the GDPR and thinking that the GDPR was just much ado about nothing. And thinking it's like some sort of Y2K event. And business leaders need to recognize that the GDPR's enforcement deadline was a first step on a longer journey that's redefining how marketers are using personal data. And some next very big steps are steps that platforms like Apple and Google have taken to essentially implement parts of the GDPR worldwide by either eliminating cookies or sharply restricting how mobile phone identifiers are available to marketers. And these changes are really seismic. I said before that the what underpins modern digital marketing is a cross-site and cross-app identity. If marketers lose that, then the rules of digital marketing are going to be fractured and rewritten. And so there's really a lot of uncertainty, a lot for marketers to grapple with at this time, which is exciting and scary at the same time.
Wow, it really does sound seismic. Sam, do you want to add some of your own conclusions, what your research has led you to think and believe and recommend?
I think me and Garrett think very, very similarly about these types of problems. And I agree with everything he said. It's just, I think the key takeaway here is that privacy online is not going anywhere as a key policy issue, and firms are going to have to figure out, how to adjust to this kind of tumultuous environment, at least in the short run.
So, Garrett, what does your research suggest is the effect of all of this on marketing?
We get Adobe Analytics data, so we see where people are coming from when they arrive at a website, and we see that there's the largest effect on personal data channels like email and display ads. And this is exactly where you'd expect the GDPR to have an effect because these marketing channels rely on personal data. So roughly speaking, we see that traffic from email and display falls something like 20% after the GDPR, but direct traffic to websites falls by 10%. So mm-hmm. We conservatively think that this extra 10% that's falling in these channels that use personalized data, we think that that's pretty clear evidence of the GDPR having a real effect on business outcomes. And that's where we get this estimate that the GDPR reduces page views and revenues for these websites by about 0.5%. Now, that's not very big, but that's, I think, as conservative as you can get. And I think our conversation has stressed that, we've really seen the GDPR light. We have not seen the GDPR under the full compliance that would make these effects even larger.
So let me just back that up a little bit. So, okay, so they're going to the You're saying they're going to the web page less. Is that because it's a less personalized appeal, or is that because since they don't consent to give the data, they're not going? Like, what is the reason for it? Because I actually don't think those are small declines. I think those are pretty big declines, and businesses would be worried about that. So is there a fix for it, or is it just a part of the regulation you can't get around? I suppose if you knew exactly what it was, there might be fixes for it or ways to get around it.
I mean, I think of it as kind of the GDPR is tying one arm behind marketers' backs, where the costs and risks of sending personalized emails and using email lists and engaging in the display ad marketplace, those risks have just gone up a lot. And so I think marketers are a bit gun shy about that. Some of them effectively culled their email lists because they didn't have GDPR level consent behind those email lists. And, you know, all these little pieces add up to what is clearly in our data, a much larger effect on these personalized channels.
So some of the anticipation and some of it's a direct effect. It's both, I guess, is what you're
saying. Yeah, I think so.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of attention paid to the GDPR in a lot of business conversations I've had. So people are not taking this lightly. And I think your research is very, very important in helping us understand exactly how it's affecting marketing dollars and marketing effectiveness. So thank you very much, Garrett Johnson, who is an assistant marketing professor at Boston University Question School of Business, and Sam Goldberg, who is a PhD candidate at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. And as I mentioned, they are co-authors, along with Assistant Professor of Marketing Scott Shriver of the University of Colorado's Lead School of Business, of the working paper Regulating Privacy Online, an Economic Evaluation of the GDPR. And you can find this working paper on MSI's site if you're interested in reading more detail about it. Thank you very much for your attention. I'm Barbara Kahn, the MSI Director, and thank you again for joining us.